Dear congregation, the text for the service this afternoon, this evening, is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 1, where the word of the Lord sounds, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. And to a nation that was called not by my name. We hear here the heart of God. So that's also the theme for this sermon, the heart of God. And we have 4 points of attention. The first is the charge, the charge. Second, the heart of God. Thirdly, the mouth of God, and last, the hand of God. First, the charge, because the context gives us some information about the background of these texts, and there is a charge in this text. Secondly, the heart of God. God pours his heart out. He opens his heart in the midst of this charge, in the midst of rebellious people. And thirdly, the mouth of God. God speaks and also God acts. So therefore, the fourth point, the hands of God. Dear congregation, Isaiah 65, verse 1 is a verse that you can print out and hang on a wall. It has so much depth in it. It's so wonderful to read in these words that God made himself foundable, sothable by people who did not ask for him. That's gospel glory, isn't it? That's so wonderful. This is the heart of the gospel. This is so amazing because when we were in this text, when it was about us, we would handle it completely different. We won't do that, don't we? But he is here. So this is a very wonderful text. This can appeal to your heart. We meditate upon it. So if it's not there yet, we pray that the Lord will give that. But we must be aware. There can be that amazement, but we must be very aware of what we are doing. Because we can easily take Bible texts out of their context and let them speak for themselves. They speak for themselves, but we must be aware of the context where they are in. So this can be very warm words. And I think if you and your computers should select the first one, maybe you think, well, the second verse is also a very nice one. I will print that either. I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So God, in his mercy, and then that rebellious people, that's amazing. That's so wonderful to see the heart of God in these verses. But I think that you do not print the third verse. For example, a people that provoked me to anger continually in my face. That's not on your refrigerator, isn't it? So we can be kind of selective when we choose our texts. And of course it has a reason, but you don't have to stop there after verse 2. It continues. It continues until, the whole part longer. So we read until the seventh verse, and then there's a new announcement from the Lord, but it goes on. There's something after it. And also the verses before Isaiah 65 are verses which has some glory in it. We started with verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we are all the work of thy hand. That's wonderful, isn't it? And maybe you can pray these verses. But it's also a bit confusing, because why is there at once between the prayers, between the supplications for the Lord, the verse 1 of Isaiah 65 and the verse 2? And why does it have such a different tone in the verses 3 to, say, 7? That needs some explanation. So we must be very careful by just cutting out a few verses from the Bible. So be aware of it. So what's happening? What's happening in these verses? We can ask a few simple questions, and one of them is, what is happening? We hear about, I think it's Jerusalem, it's Zion, it says verse 10 from chapter 64, that Jerusalem is a desolation, it's a wilderness, it's a desert. There is no house anymore, no temple building, says verse 11. So that's happening. That is the situation, that's the background. We also can ask a question, when? The book of Isaiah, some scholars think it are actually 3 volumes. If it's true, I don't know. But when? It can be helpful if we know when this text was prophesied by Isaiah, to get some context and to get to know what the exact meaning of this verse is, but we actually don't know exactly the dates. Is it before the exile? Is it in the exile? Or is it after the exile? We don't know. We can also ask another question. Who is speaking here? And we see different voices. We hear different voices because the verse 8 to 12 is the people of God. They call themselves the covenant people. We are your people. Thou art our Father. We are the clay. These are terms of the covenant, covenantal language, so to say. So they must be from the people of God. But where are they? Are they in Babylon, or are they the remnants still in Jerusalem? We don't know exactly. So to pinpoint it somewhere on the timeline, it's quite difficult. It brings a lot of difficulties with it. So what to do with a text like this? If circumstances cannot help us so much or raises much other questions. So we can look at the type of the text. This is prophecy. Prophecy from the words of Isaiah. So when it is difficult to explain it from an historical event, we can use prophecy as our interpretation. And I mean this, what does this teach about who we are? What does it teach about who God is? And these two questions, you can always find your answer in the biblical text, where you ask these texts, what does this teach about God? What does this teach about who we are? What does it teach about the relation between God and mankind, or God and his people? So we have a structure here that helps us. We have the verses 7 into 12 from Isaiah 64, which are a complaint. They ask to the Lord, they pray, aren't we your people? Have you seen the mess where we are in? Have you seen our troubles? Have you seen the desolation of your city? Well, that's not what they say. They say it's our city. Have you seen how our house, our beautiful house, is destroyed by fire? Have you seen what's going on? And then we have the warm words in Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. And after that, there is an indictment. You sinners, I will take revenge. Your iniquity, says verse 7, and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me unto upon the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. So, what does that teach us? The structure, this prophetical text. When we look very carefully, especially in the first verses, it sounds so beautiful. But actually, they're so, so wrong. O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. But if you look carefully, it's just all about us. It's me. The holy cities, it's not your city, it is the holy cities. It's not your Zion, it's just Zion. It's not your city, it's just Jerusalem. It's not your temple, it's our house. They live in a misconception. And they ask to God, will you refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Will thou hold us in peace and afflict us very sore? But the answer of the Lord is, I will repay. The judgment is coming. Behold, says verse 6, it is written before me, I will not keep silence. I will speak. I will show you what is the case. So instead of being proud of that they are the covenant people, they should have gone on their knees and asked God for forgiveness. But instead of doing that, they are so proud, filled with pride. And therefore, this great charge of God, you think you serve me, but you have enticed yourself into idolatry. So is this your conversion? Is this your religion? You say, but you do. You think you serve God, but do you really? How is that, dear congregation, in your life? To whom is this word addressed tonight? What about my conversation? What about my religion? Are you satisfied with your service to God? Who do you really serve in your life? Just look at how it is, not how you would like it to be. We can be so religious. We can have such a religious selfishness. Also with our very reformed doctrine, we can be so inwardly focused that we count everything what's going on and we forget to serve God. In effect, we serve ourselves with it. This is, and when we look at this, at the situation where the church is in, especially for today, with all the separations going on here and there, it's not only here in America, but it's also in the Netherlands. Shouting on the ruins of the church. Religious selfishness while the church is separated, is split up in so many different colors and in denominations. And where is the conversion? Where is the true religion? Not turned inward. Is it becoming your fault? Am I to blame for the church, or do you point at somebody else? We can be very like these people here, as in Isaiah 64. When we sit on the ruins of Zion, the ruins of Jerusalem, and we can make so much arguments about everything what's going on. Once there was a consistory meeting, and there was a discussion going on. It was an argument. It went really bad. And a few elders stood up, and they left the room, and one of them smashed the door with a loud bang. And there was just a little cross. It was hanging on the wall above the door. And because of the smash, because of the loud bang, that little cross fell on the floor. And when they saw, who were still in the room, when they saw what happened, they looked at that little cross. And suddenly, everything went quiet. Because have you seen it? Have you seen it? That's our second point, the heart of God. Have you seen it? Between all these discussions, between all this arguing, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought not for me. Do you think that God was gone after all our arguing? Do you think that God has changed because of what we have done? He made himself, and that's, I think, a better translation, he made himself searchable. He made himself findable. So what is that, being findable or searchable? Well, maybe boys and girls just sometimes play an easy play is hide and seek, don't you? And then you try to hide somewhere in the house. And if you're an older brother and you play it with your little brothers or sisters, then you need an easy spot. Otherwise, they never can find you, isn't it? And most of the time, they keep looking at the same place. So what do? You just sit on the couch and close your eyes. Then you're kind of hidden. And then your younger brother or sister, he comes and he finds you. So that's when you make yourself searchable or findable. Put yourself in an easy spot that they can find you. So that's what God does in the midst of all our arguing, in the midst of all our sins, in the midst of the ruins of the church. He says, here I am. He says, I am sought. I've made myself searchable. Despite of us, God is there. He is present. He's not waiting for the right moment. He's not waiting until we have stopped our arguing. He is there right today when we are at the ruins of the churches. This is what grace is. This is what is in the heart of God. This is his heart opened for sinners. He is making himself available. I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. Have you noticed it? That God is still there. He is there in the very unexpected. You didn't ask about God. You were arguing. You were doing all the things you didn't have to do. You weren't looking for him, but he, so graciously, his open heart for us, unworthy sinners, so undeserved. We alienated from God. We weren't waiting for him. We weren't praying even. Surprised by joy. There's a song, it's a popular song actually, but it's so true. There is a crack in everything. That is how the light gets in. Oh, to hear his voice in the midst of our cares, to hear his voice on the ruins of the church. Paul applies this text to the Gentiles, that while his covenant people ignore him, he continues to search. He even goes to the Gentiles. He even goes overseas. He even goes to Grand Rapids to look for those who call upon his name, and also for them who are arguing and so busy with their own business. This is the heart of God. The heart of God open towards sinners. Have you seen it, dear congregation? Have you seen it, dear sinner? Have you seen it? That God has not changed. Thirdly, the mouth of God. The word continues. Isaiah 65, verse 1 says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. He is not silently present, but he also speaks. Or to say it with the book of Francis Schaeffer, he is there and he is not silent. He says, look at me. Here I am. Here I am. I speak of peace. And he says it not only once, but he says it two times. Behold me. Behold me. He speaks twice as an evidence of his truth, so that we are sure that what he says, that it is the truth. He speaks. So if you have not been aware that he is there, that you will get to know that he is there. He speaks to get attention. He speaks to show us who he is. He speaks because he is the living God. He speaks because he is concerned with his people. He is concerned about his promises. He speaks to a people who did not call upon his name. Here I am. Look at me. Come all unto me. Come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a mercy that God also speaks. He's not just there hanging out in the invisible realm, but he is there and he is not silent. So when you hear the voice of the Lord tonight, don't be just like your Jonah who went away. He was aware of the voice of the Lord, but he went another way, so as far as he could go, but come to him. Because his heart is open for rebellious people. We so often think that we first have to be righteous in some sense, at least in the outward sense. And maybe we have a lot of other requirements before we can come to the Lord. But he does not wait for you to be ready. His voice is here tonight. And maybe you're not yet prepared for it. But here he is. Behold me. Behold me. Now you can look everywhere in this world, and there are so many voices who wants to have your attention. So many sounds, even in your house, when, for example, the dishwasher is ready, you hear it. You hear the voice, or you hear the small beep, don't you? So, and there's so many voices everywhere around us in this world. But tonight, there's only one voice which can really make sure, who can really do what it says. He makes himself searchable. He makes himself findable, and therefore he speaks because you maybe didn't know that he was there. You didn't notice him. You just came here, you sat down, just listening. But here he is. Behold me. Now don't look inward anymore. He knows you're a sinner, and you know it also. But bring all the sins that you have to him. Behold me. Look what I have done. Look what I have done in my dear beloved son. Come ye unto me. And if you don't have money, you don't have to bring anything with you. Come to the waters, and he who had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So no longer think. You have to be at first a better person. Just you may come, just as you are. There's so much truth in it, but he will never let you be just as you are. He wants you to change your heart to him. If you will come to him, he will remove that stone heart, which is so cold, which is not receptive for the love of the Lord, but he will change it in a heart of flesh so that you become aware of his love and you can repay that love to him. This is the heart of God, the heart of God towards sinners on earth. Before we go to our fourth point, dear congregation, let us first sing from our Psalter, Psalter 236. Let's sing the verses 3 and 4, how great thy love appears that bathe death's gloomy fears. And also the fourth verse, show me thy mercy true, thy servant strength renew. And we'll follow us in the verses 3 and 4 from Psalter 236. So far, we have seen the charge shouting at the ruins of the church. We have seen the heart of God, that he makes himself searchable, findable. We have heard about the mouth of God. He still speaks. He also speaks, and to underscore his mercy all the more, he not also speaks, he not only speaks, but he also acts. If you haven't been aware of his presence, he speaks. If you haven't been aware of his voice, he is there to act. I have spread out my hands, says the second verse, all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. So God speaking and acting always go together. We see that, for example, children in the creation. When God speaks, he acts. It is there when he speaks. And he does that so that we may have more confidence in the word of God. So he does what he says. There are so many voices on this word, as I just mentioned. They cannot make their promises true. But there is one voice who always does what he promises, and that is from the word of God. So his hands, that is to underline even more his love for sinners while it is still this precious time of grace. And where do we see this more? I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. Where have we seen that in the Bible? God spreading out his hands. That is what he has shown us in his beloved Son on Calvary's cross. There Christ had his hand outstretched to rebellious people. To rebellious people that are the Jews over here. He became one of the Jews. He became one of them. He became one of the rebellious people, yet without sin. He became one of the rebellious people to take our sins on himself. We also are these rebellious people who argue in the midst and at the ruins of a separated church. We will receive from him our righteousness, because he stretched out his hands to rebellious people. To rebellious people, that is how deep he wanted to descend, to show us the most what grace is. This is at Calvary's cross. There he carried what we should have carried. There he himself bore the wrath of God against sin. There he showed us what love to the end means. There he became the man of sorrows, known with our sorrows. This is the love of God manifested in his life and death. It is God acting in love. So never think that God just finishes sin like it was nothing. Never think that if you come to him as a sinner, that God just deletes sin or looks through the fingers like you have never done it. He has punished your sins on his Son. Because God does it always the righteous way. Sin has to be punished. So also our sins, our churchly sins, our personal sins, he laid them on the shoulders of his beloved Son, so that he carried away the wrath of God, and we can stand in his place. And God looks at his people as completely forgiven, totally righteous, no sin anymore, but free from all what we have done. So, dear congregation, on God's side, His heart is open. The possibility of repentance, that's what I can preach to you tonight. There is deliverance, also after such heavy burdens of sin. This is really what the good news is. This is really what the gospel is. This is the freedom of the children of God. So if you're not known with this freedom, now come to Him tonight. Confess your sin. You don't have to hide it anymore, any longer. You don't have to become first a better he or a better she. Come to Him as you are. Come ye all unto Him. And that's so beautiful in the words of Isaiah 55. Also the verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, because He is there and He is not silent. And if you haven't heard His voice, He acts in His Son to show you all the more. Seek ye therefore the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and let the unrighteous man leave his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. So there is so much grace in the heart of God, and it's still there. He has it all stored out for sinners like you and like me. So you say, how do I come to Him? How do I appeal to His voice? Go on your knees and pray to God. And if there's no room to go on your knees, call unto Him. He will never let you go, let you stay alone. Come unto Him tonight. God speaks, and He acts. And in that we so wonderfully see His gracious heart. But I must warn you tonight, before we finish, before we conclude, because God also speaks and acts in another way. Verse 6 says of Isaiah 65, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. God makes that God does it thoroughly. He searches it out through the bottom, because the judgment of the Lord will come for sure. If you do not repent, if you have no need for a God, He will repay for your sins. So therefore, if you hear today His voice, if you hear Him so clearly speak, and if you didn't hear Him speak, look what He has done in Jesus Christ. Come into Him. Don't think that God has changed. When circumstances change, He is still gracious. He is there. Who can ever explain or understand the heart of God? Who can ever explain or understand the love of God for sinners? I am sought. I've made myself searchable of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought not for me. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. So every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he who hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Amen. O come, let us adore him. Lord, we pray. Your love is so wonderful. Your heart is so much wider than we can ever imagine. We have gone to idolatry by minimizing your love towards sinners. We have made our false gods next to you because we were so wrong. Lord, who can ever explain, who can ever understand what your love for sinners is? All we praise thee for who you are, for what you have done in your beloved Son, our Savior, that you come with a tender voice to call us because you want to have your children with you. Lord, we praise you for who you are. Your love so amazing, your grace so abundantly, no one should ever think anymore so little of who you are and what you have done. Lord, we come to tell you our missteps. We have gone so far away from you. And when we look at the situation in our countries, we see so many divisions and so many strifes and arguing. And on the ruins of the church, we have such a big religious egos. And therefore, Lord, we pray, make us humble, humble men and women. And we are like you. Lord, form us after your image. Forgive us our sins as a church, as a congregation, about our past, what we have done for the building of the kingdom of God. We pray, Lord, you are there. We didn't see it. We thought that we first should have a perfect church. And there's much going on in our churches. And we bring that to you. We confess the sins of the church for your holy face. You know it, Lord. You know it. You know about all the different visions also that are going away from your word. That it's all about opinions. And it's all about feelings. And having a good life. But we forget that you are there. So therefore we praise you for your grace that you made yourself known to us tonight. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our eyes to see that you are really there, to still care for us. And we pray that you will stay with us. Stay with this congregation. Stay with the RCA. Be, O God, the God of the church. Give us humble men and women who serve thee, humble children who obey your word more than anything else. Make yourself, your name, great among the nations in the midst of your people. So, Lord, we bring our churchly guilt to you, and we pray that you will forgive it. Be with us. Even on the ruins, even in our separations, forgive us our arguing and go with us wherever our way will lead. Lord, be with them who struggle with the choices they made. You know where we come from. Also, maybe we come from different churches and still in our minds did we make the right choice. And we pray that you will be with us. Give us peace. Give us the peace only your word can give us. And whatever people may think, may we have the confidence that your way is the best way. We pray for those who attend for ministry, especially for our friends in our midst. We pray that you will bless his way and make his path in the church, which seems to be such a hidden path, clear for him. Be with him. We bring this all to you. We pray for forgiveness for all our sins, also in this service. Go with us in this new week, wherever we go, if we go on vacation or make trips, or whatever we do, if we have to care for the people around us, or if we are all alone on our own, be with us, be near to us. Save us, O Lord, that we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude this service by singing from Psalter 198. It's Psalm 72, actually. Psalter 198. We sing the verses 3, 4, 5, and 7. The verses 3, 4, 5, and 7. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen.